This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal this week that caught our eye. It was about companies getting rid of their HR departments. No more human resources. Just like that. They're using software for stuff like payroll, and they're having regular line managers pick up the stuff HR used to do. As to whether that works or not, well, I don't know, which is why we've called Nancy Kane. She is a historian at the Harvard Business School. She joins us from time to time to talk about things like this. Nancy, it's good to have you back.
Always a real pleasure, Kai.
It is, I will say, on the face of it, a curious, interesting. It's an interesting idea, getting rid of HR departments.
It is. There's something seductive about the logic of it, you know, among the, you know, anecdotal evidence and stories we have from companies that have chosen to do this, which is, well, let's put the people decision making and the people issues right in the business, right, as opposed to separating them out in a separate function. Seductive, cost-cutting.
You don't sound convinced. I'm just going to get right to the chase here. You do not sound
convinced.
I'm
not convinced at all. So the historian in me wants to tell you that HR, or what we call human resources, which used to be personnel management,
right,
which used to be industrial relations, which was once, way back when, industrial welfare evolved, right, as workers and factories and management evolved almost, you know, in tandem. And there's a reason that early 21st century companies of any size end up having a people or a partner or a human resource department. And I think those reasons are bigger and more critical than simply we can outsource payroll, we can outsource benefits without, you know, separate stewards of all the other issues that are critical both to employees and companies in the equation.
These intermediaries, right? So let me ask you to lay those out, because there's a not small slice of the people listening to this interview, and it's people who don't work in HR, right? But they will say, oh man, HR, they're the ones who make me take the trainings, they're the ones who make me do the evaluations and the forms and the blah, blah, blah. So make the case. By the way, no aspersion to HR professionals out there everywhere.
Absolutely not. The overwhelming majority of whom are women,
good point.
The C-suite, right? There is no other single executive function at the very top of companies that is so occupied by women. So I think it's interesting that we talk about slicing off and getting rid of a critical function. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelmingly a female function. Hmm. Having said that, let's do it in kind of David Letterman-like, you know, ascending.
Or Stephen Colbert style. Who knows
what
that's
Stephen Colbert
be, right?
style. So let's start with the most boring and mundane, but they're also important, right? There are issues, legal issues, right? Is the company and is the employee compliant with existing regulation?
Right.
Pay. But there's one more thing. Think about the Ritz-Carlton or Southwest Airlines or even Estee Lauder. These are companies that have very, very high levels of customer loyalty. And these are also companies that invest in huge amounts of human resource management. And there's no surprise. Why? Because an engaged, satisfied, non-bickering workforce that's legally compliant is critically important to, you know, the ka-ching, ka-ching of winning in the marketplace and having, if you will, a high EPS.
HR and ka-ching. Ka-ching, ka-ching. There you have it. Nancy Kane at the Harvard Business School. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.